Chapter 4. The Cave. As the story about Walt comes to an end, I take a moment to sit back and look around the treehouse. Regardless of how many times I come here, I never get too much of this place. The atmosphere in the treehouse is much like a wonderful family reunion. Do you know what I'm talking about? Being here in the treehouse is much like the family reunions that, for the most part, are only portrayed in a Norman Rockwell painting, seldom experienced in real life. Sometimes the gatherings, the ones that take place outside of the treehouse, are somewhat less than ideal. If the truth be known, it is Lord Reason and his old cohort, Nate, which bring out the family stuff that sometimes colors other gatherings. It's a shame. Here we are in the treehouse. Well, this is one totally awesome gathering. The sun is high in the sky, and the canopy of trees just overhead, mixed with the sweet songs from the nearby birds, creates a soothing and calm afternoon. Wow, this is nice. As with previous gatherings, as one story ends, it soon gives way to the anticipation and excitement for the next one. Kaylin, I'm not sure if you and your mom have remembered being at one of the previous gatherings. If not, just as a reminder, the stories sometimes develop in a thematic or sequential manner. One story lays the storyline or groundwork for the one that follows. You know, like the way Guardian and the assignment stories were connected. Other times, a story may stand alone, unconnected to the others. Even though I am the storyteller, I sometimes do not know how a story may unfold or if it's going to be connected to a previous one. So, just relax and enjoy yourself as we go along. Oh yeah, why don't you grab me a snack? You'll find some over by that large twisted limb that unfolds and becomes part of the hand railing. It's just over there to your right. Do you see the wooden crate by the tree limb? Good. There's some really special snacks in it. Get one for your grandmommy and your mom, too. Don't forget to get one for Noah. On to our next story. Jim! Jimmy! Terry called from the ledge above. Can you hear me? Jim! Jimmy! Oh, daggone it! Where did he go? His voice trailed off into incoherent mumbles as, with an occasional expression of his frustration. Where did his friend go? Terry was now becoming very worried about his good friend, Jimmy. They were on an adventure together when things went horribly wrong. You see, Kaylin, last summer, Terry and Jimmy found the mouth of a cave on Jimmy's grandparents' farm. Although they had explored all around the farm for the past 3 summers, they had never experienced the opening next to a massive stone deep in the woods behind the old barn. Although the excitement level was high, if things had worked out, they were unable to explore it. Night was falling quickly, and their summer vacation was ending the next day. They had to return to their parents and to the city. The cave would have to wait until next summer. Although the following school year they spent their free time planning and scheming about how they were going to conquer their cave, they pictured themselves as great cave explorers, like Stephen Bishop, who, in the 1800s, became famous for being one of the lead explorers in the Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. It was only natural for 2 young boys to imagine that their cave was equally as large as Mammoth Cave. They dreamed that they, too, would become famous. The school year dragged by slowly. To speed up the clock, they decided to make some money. By doing chores for friends and family, they were able to make a few bucks, mostly raking the gazillion leaves that never seemed to stop falling. All the better for them. They figured that they needed about $100 to outfit their splunking trip that was planned for next summer. Now, this wasn't going to be like all the other summers when they went to the farm. Oh no, they were older now. Plus, They had to be real serious about exploring the cave. In late October, June seemed forever away. Eventually, the months did pass. The leaves did finally all fall to the ground, only to be converted into cash for the much-needed equipment. By mid-December, the barren tree limbs were being pushed around by winter's cold breath. As early snow provided a white Christmas to their And early snow provided a white Christmas to their surprise as Christmas gifts, both of them received some of their gear that they had anticipated needing next summer. Just over 5 months to go. Spring brought her rain and fresh flowers. The time was getting close. Finally, they welcomed the last day of school. As usual, they left the week after school let out in order to spend most of the summer at Jimmy's grandparents' farm. Both Jimmy and Terry had parents whose careers kept them busy all year round. It worked best for all to have the boys spend the summer in the country away from the bustling city. One June evening, they stepped out of Jimmy's dad's car at the farm. Even though it was late in the day, the first day at the farm, the boys headed to the mouth of the cave. Apart from some fallen dead tree limbs at the entrance, it appeared just like they had left it last summer. A small opening formed the entrance to the cave. It was about twice as large as the mouth of a bushel basket that Grandmommy used to gather apples from her orchard. Oh yeah, they were ready. The next morning, just having some of Grandmommy's pancakes, the explorers were entering into the mouth of the cave. Jimmy tied off one end of the half-inch rope near the entrance of the cave. In case they lost their way, they could follow the rope to safety. At least, that was the plan. The going was okay at first. Although the entrance was smaller than a regular door, once inside, they felt confident enough to continue into the dark recesses of their cave. They had traveled only about 100 feet or so when, without rhyme or reason, Jimmy disappeared. Now, in the serious panic mode, Terry was anxious to find his friend. Jim! Jimmy! Terry looked around in desperation. He noticed a place where the floor of the cave, well, the floor just wasn't there. Had his friend fallen into the dark, black, empty hole? His stomach was now in knots. Although the air in the cave was around 55 degrees, sweat was running down his cheeks. Cautiously, he crawled to the edge. He shined his flashlight over the ledge in the direction that he expected to see his buddy, Jim. John Brownett, why does it have to be so dark? Jimmy! 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 Still no answer. It was as if Terry's voice was being swallowed by the darkness of the cave. His mind raced as to what he should do now. He couldn't leave his friend, but he needed help. Desperately, he shined his light into the darkness. Nothing. No sound. Just a cave full of black nothingness. Then, Terry had an unnerving eeriness come over him at the realization that his own voice did not have an echo. It was like he was hollering into a big bucket filled with sand. This gave him goosebumps. As loud as he was calling for Jim, it should have created some sort of an echo, but nothing. Not even his movements around the ledge created a noticeable sound. His heart raced. In vain, he leaned over the edge, reaching his hand out as far as possible, trying to stretch out the light beam of his five-cell flashlight a couple more inches. With barely a whisper, Terry asked, more to himself than anyone else, "Where are you, Jimmy?" The seconds seemed like hours. Still, there was no sight or sound of his buddy Jim. "Where did he go so quickly?" Terry said, still searching over the ledge for his buddy. As his mind retraced their steps just before, "What? What?" Absolute panic ran through his mind. He tried to roll over. No! No! His feet were being lifted off the ground. No! No! Stop! Stop! Let go! His desperate pleas fell on deaf ears. It was too late. Darkness followed. The first thought to enter his mind was to reach for his flashlight. To Terry's surprise, his flashlight was still in his hand. In the panic of the moment, just before all went dark, his hand must have held on to the light as if it was his only source of hope. Now, in the darkness of the cave, his only hope was in his flashlight, or so he thought. No longer did he hold the rope that was designed to be their method of escape. Where was he? Where was Jimmy? Dare he use his flashlight now? Did it even work anymore? Although darkness hid his unknown attacker, it also hid him from being seen. Where am I? Feeling a small yet scary sense of security within the darkness, he felt around. He ran his fingers over the damp soil where he was lying. Running his fingers over his head and face, he searched for signs of injury. Slowly, he bent his arms and legs, then his toes and fingers on the hand that was holding the light. So far, so good. Odd, he thought. Everything felt okay. But where am I? What just happened? Now both he and his friend were lost. Terry continued to ponder his predicament. Where was Jimmy? Where am I? What just happened? Who else is in this cave? What time is it? What am I to do now? Hope was nowhere to be found. Terry was looking for Jimmy when he was grabbed by his feet, but no one was looking for him. Fear gripped his heart and his mind. The sound of his heart pounding in his chest and his heavy breathing were the only sounds he heard. All else was deathly quiet. Terry held his flashlight with a grip of steel, afraid he might lose it in the darkness. The sun's light does not penetrate the depths of most caves, especially this cave. As with any cave, the darkness found here never knew the warmth or light of the sun. Caves know darkness as few others do. Even the critters that lived in her darkness were forced to adjust to light, life without the sun. You see, in the deep darkness of a cave, either you learn to live in darkness or you cease to exist. The darkness takes only a short time to steal away one's perspective and hope. A cave's darkness, unlike the darkness of lowered reason, is not evil. A cave has no intention or desire to inflict harm on anyone or anything. The darkness that is there is just the way it is. The cave and her usual guests are not concerned about darkness or the absence of sunlight. Only the outsiders, those who lived by sight, who dared to venture into the darkness, were unaccustomed to the lack of light. Even the brave explorers who enter, like Terry and Jimmy, rely too heavily upon their temporary light sources, often to their demise. In the past days, now long lost to time, visitors in a cave used an open flame to light their way. Today is most often a flashlight. Darkness is what it is, the complete absence of light. Given enough time, or the right circumstances, the hottest of flames, or the most powerful batteries, will eventually succumb to the endlessness of the darkness. The critters that live in the total darkness of a cave rely upon their sense of touch, hearing, taste, and smell. The sense of sight is no longer required. When the darkness of the cave consumes you, it steals your only source of receiving light, your eyes. Terry was fighting panic at every moment. Terry was fighting panic at every thought, unable to see in this darkness. He soon learned to rely upon his other senses, hearing, smell, and touch. He quickly became cognitive of how much he relied upon his sense of sight. It was as if his eyes were no longer available. Opening them as wide as he may, they, for all practical purposes, were useless. He was totally blind. Terry was your typical teenager. He enjoyed life. Sure, he'd been to a church service, but the whole church experience did not do much for him. He had met people who called themselves Christians, but he had also met people who were doctors. To him, it was just another label that adults used to identify themselves. To him, it seemed that adults were more concerned with their labels than anything important or real. As he lay on his belly on the floor of the cave, he wished that God was real. He wished that he knew how to get his help. Terry was alone to deal with his precarious situation. Slowly, Terry forced himself to focus. He had to come up with a plan of action. For several months, he and Jimmy had planned for this trip. No detail had been overlooked. However, they had not planned on this. Terry lay motionless, too afraid to switch on his flashlight. As he continued to formulate a plan of action, he noticed a presence. Nothing had touched him, but he could feel something or someone right next to his side. It was as if whatever it was had one foot planted firmly on either side of his prone body. He so wanted to reach out his trembling hand to be sure, but his arms were frozen to their position, supporting his chest and shoulders. His breathing had almost stopped. Perspiration was dripping off of the end of his chin. Tears formed in his eyes. He was scared. He noticed that his knees were trembling to the point that he was sure that they would come out of their joints. He wanted to go home. He soon found himself saying under his breath, "Please, God help me. I am so scared. Please, please, God help me find Jimmy and get out of here." Terry's silent prayer for help continued for several minutes. After a few moments, he noticed that something was different. But what? He still seemed that there was something or someone standing over him. He knew that if he were to reach out his hand, he would surely touch whatever or whoever was standing there. An odd sensation came over him. He was no longer shaking, and he was not as afraid as he was before. He pondered what was going on. Who is here with me? Did God actually hear my prayer? Without warning, he was surrounded by an unseen battle. Swish, clang, swish, swish, clang. He knew he heard it. But what was he hearing? It sounded like something moving swiftly through the air. The sounds increased as the intensity grew around his motionless body. Vividly, he recalled the medieval movies that he and Jimmy had watched. He recalled the scenes with sword-fighting knights and gladiators. He now knew what the unseen sound was. The sound that he was hearing was a sound of what surely seemed to be swords being swung through the air, followed by the clang of two swords striking each other. There was another sound, more dull. It was as if the sword was hitting something other than metal. But what? His mind raced as he attempted to make sense of what was happening. He found himself talking out loud. How can this be happening? How can anyone see in this dark place to have a sword fight? Without giving it any thought, he found himself up on his knees, flashlight at the ready. The unseen battle continued to rage before his unseeing eyes. As quickly as it began, there was once again silence. Terry switched on his flashlight, illuminating the cave around him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing was in sight. No one was here. With a surge of unfamiliar confidence, he raised up off his knees to finally stand on his own two feet. Carefully, he surveyed the area all around himself. No one was in sight. He examined the dirt floor of the cave for any signs of what had created all the commotion just a few minutes ago. He could not tell from any evidence left behind because the dirt floor of the cave was very smooth. There were no signs of footprints from either a person or an animal. To his surprise, he noticed his day pack laying about 10 feet from where he was lying on the floor. Cautiously, he walked over to where it was. Slowly, he bent over, reaching for the shoulder strap. All the while, he darted his light to and fro so as not to be caught off guard by whatever had attacked him earlier. Carefully, he searched around the hopes of getting his bearings. Carefully, he searched around in hopes of getting his bearings. From where he was standing, there were at least 3 ways in and out of this part of the cave. He shined his light toward the ceiling. There, about 8 feet above where he was standing, was an opening. He thought to himself, was that the ledge where I had been looking for Jimmy? He was confident that it was the ledge where he had been previously looking for Jimmy when, whatever it was, happened, and he found himself in the darkness down here. Now that I'm down here, can I climb back up there? Approaching the base of the wall, just under the opening, he was pleasantly surprised to find an old ladder. It was made of rope, and the rungs were strips of wood. It was so covered with dirt that it blended completely into the wall of the cave. He looked around behind himself to be sure that he was alone. Then he reached out one hand and grabbed the rung that was just over head high. He tested his weight before committing to putting his foot on the lowest rung. With the swiftness of a lizard, he scrambled up the ladder to the ledge above. Once on the ledge, he had a sense of being safe, back on somewhat familiar turf. However, he jolted as he recalled what had happened the last time he was here. Not taking any chances this time, he kept his flashlight scanning back and forth in every and even movements. If whatever it was came back again, at least this time, he was going to see it. Okay, he said to himself, where is my safety line? He searched every square inch of the dirt floor until he found it. Yes, he explained out loud. While he held his flashlight in one hand, he ran the rope through his fingers to locate the end of the rope. He guessed that he had used about 3/4 of the 100 feet of half-inch rope. That meant he was about 75 feet deep, by 75 feet from the entrance of the cave. Instead of just holding the end of the rope as he had done before, this time he ran the rope through the belt loops of his jeans. He then tied the very end of the rope securely around his waist. With his confidence building every minute, he slowly contemplated its next step. Jimmy is still in here somewhere, but where? Not knowing where Jimmy was and not knowing who had thrown him off the ledge, he decided to follow the safety line to the mouth of the cave. With one hand, he held his flashlight, and with the other, he slowly worked the rope through his fingers as he retraced his steps to the entrance of the cave. Back and forth, he shined the light, making sure the way in front was clear and that no one was creeping up behind him. His plan was to return to the mouth of the cave, then go and get Jimmy's papa and help him find Jimmy. When he was a few feet from the cave's entrance, he turned a corner and was startled by the sight of 2 bright lights. Unable to see due to the brightness of the lights, he called out, "Who's there?" Relief ran in chills over his body at the sound of Jimmy and his grandpa's voices. They ran towards each other and enjoyed a joyous threesome bear hug. You cannot imagine the relief they experienced. With Jimmy's papa bringing up the rear, the boys joyfully led the way to the entrance of the cave and into the bright sunshine. When Jimmy saw how dirty Terry was, he laughed so hard that he cried. Terry's face looked much like that of a coal miner. His shirt and jeans were as black as coal. Terry's remaining fear soon gave way to laughter as he enjoyed the companionship of his good friend. While the boys were having their reunion, Papa found a seat under a white oak tree. A large root protruded from the ground near the trunk, which formed a perfect resting place. He was enjoying the shade, but more so, he was enjoying the moment, knowing the boys were safe. As Papa sat there, he lowered his head and removed his hat, revealing a full head of white hair. He needed a few minutes to give thanks to the king for his prayers being answered. You see, Kalen, it was not long after the boys started their venture into the cave that Papa was approached by Jimmy's grandmommy. She was in the midst of cleaning up the kitchen when she had a check in her spirit about the boys. Although she did not know exactly what was happening, she knew that it was not good and there was no time to waste. Grandmommy found her husband of 50 years sitting on the front porch. As soon as he saw her come out the screen door, he knew what was up. They quickly joined hands and asked the king to give them direction as to what they were to do. It only took a moment when Papa said to her, "Stay here and keep praying. I think I know where the boys are." Stopping by his workshop for a length of nylon rope, a flashlight, and a headlamp, he headed off to the cave. Although the boys' plan to explore the old cave was no secret, no one expected them to encounter any trouble. You see, the old cave only went in a few feet before it ended. So everyone believed. Terry and Jimmy, being the explorers they were, found a small opening about 15 feet inside the cave. It was almost hidden from view. You could only see it if you walked around the rock that was resting right in front of it. As soon as Papa reached the cave, a smile crossed his face when he noticed the boys' safety line. He would have little trouble following the rope to where the boys were, so he thought. Papa had been a light-bearer warrior for most of his adult life. In his younger years, he had disrupted many of Lord Reason's plans. He had been instrumental in helping many young light-bearers learn how to fan the flame of their lights. He and Grandmommy were at the end of their journey. Although they still helped young light-bearers who came their way, mostly, they enjoyed the winter of their lives. As Papa made his way into the cave, he sensed an old presence. He knew that things were not as they should be. He stopped for just a moment to release his own light, the light of Prince Shai, for he knew that he needed to see more than what was visible to his human eyes. Yes. He was sure who was in this cave, and he moved forward with the agility of a man who was a third his age. It took only a moment for him to reach Jimmy. Jimmy was half sitting, half lying against the wall of the cave. He was dazed and not responsive as Papa knelt beside him. An encounter with a henchman can do this, especially to the young ones. Without wasting a moment, Papa lifted his grandson over his shoulder and headed to the mouth of the cave. Once in the warmth of the sunlight, and with the help of Grandpa's prayers over him, Jimmy soon came around. Once Jimmy was back to himself, he joined Papa as they re-entered the cave to find Terry. They were both pleased to find him just a few feet inside the cave. Papa returned his hat to his white head. It was time that he and Grandma may have a talk with the boys. The four of them would have a conversation after dinner. After the boys returned to the house, they heard Grandmommy singing a song in the kitchen. While Papa was off looking for the boys, she continued to pray. As she prayed, she had a peace in her spirit, and she knew that all was well. She thought a fresh apple pie would be a nice treat for dessert after dinner. Once Grandmommy laid her eyes on the boys, in spite of their apparent need for a good bath, she hugged them both until they groaned from the power of her hug. Later that evening, over fresh lemonade, coffee, and apple pie, The boys recounted their adventure. Sitting on the sofa, they spoke of their time in the cave. They walked Jimmy's grandparents through the entire ordeal. At one point, Terry's eyes became moist as he remembered how scared he was lying on the dirt floor of the cave. He shared how he had prayed for God to help him. He told them about the unseen sword fight and all that happened afterwards. Terry looked at Jimmy's grandparents and asked them to explain what had happened in the cave. Grandmommy and Papa operated like a well-oiled machine as they told them about the unseen world, the world of Lord Reason. They also told me about King Avi and Prince Shai. They explained what it meant to be a light bearer for the king. They told them about protectors like Guardian and the role they had in looking out for young light bearers. The coffee became cold sitting in their cups as this pair of seasoned light bearers told of their own adventures. The boys held on to every word as Jimmy's grandparents shared stories about Lord Reason, his old friend Nate, demonic activity, and the training of young light bearers. As the hours slipped away, the conversation took a turn when Terry asked, "What do I have to do to become a light bearer?" The wrinkles on their faces seemed to disappear as, once again, the two seasoned light bearers passed the torch of the king to Terry. No longer did he focus on the Christians that he had known, the adults who felt proud about having such a title. Terry knew that most of them were not real light bearers. He now knew the difference. Jimmy said quietly as he watched his friend go through a transformation. He was still Terry, but there was clearly something different. He could see it the moment when Terry said yes to receiving the eternal light from Prince Shai. Jimmy knew some of what his grandparents had been saying, and he was now ready to become a light bearer as well. His childhood friend and cave explorer, Terry, joined Papa and Grandmama as Jimmy received the light from the king's son. Caitlin, the king knew that these two boys were about to become light bearers. That is why the king assigned each of them a protector. The sword fight that Terry had heard was his protector standing over his frightened body, protecting him. Well, we have reached the end of yet another story. Terry's and Jimmy's plan to explore the cave held more than the young boys had ever figured on during their planning days. In fact, their lives were now on the path to becoming real adventures. End of chapter 4.